The Trader Cobb Crypto Show, talking business in blockchain.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. Today we've got Andrew Kigel, who's the CEO of Hut 8 Mining. Now you might remember watching me interview Andrew back when I was in Consensus in May, when we first met, when Hut 8 was sort of getting its momentum and getting ready for its rollout. Now, of course, we're a few months on now and I'm really excited to hear how everything's going, Andrew. So thank you so much for being on the show and I guess welcome back.
Thank you very much. Happy to be back on.
Good, good. Hey, look, just for because we've picked up an awful lot of listeners since Consensus that might not have been familiar with Hut 8 and what you're doing. So if you wouldn't mind just giving the guys and girls out there in listener land a bit of an idea of what Hut 8 is and what you guys are doing.
Sure. So we are the largest cryptocurrency mining company in Canada now. We have an exclusive partnership with the Bitfury Group, which is the second largest ASIC chip manufacturer in the world. Essentially, we have large-scale industrial operations in Alberta. We trade publicly, and the idea is to provide investors with exposure to Bitcoin, but without having to go and create the online wallets and deal with the security underlying that. So people who buy into Hut 8, our company, have a sort of secure and simple way to invest and get exposure to Bitcoin without having to do all the online stuff.
Excellent. So basically, to make it very, very simple, you're basically a listed company that you can have access to or exposure to Bitcoin, which at the time we spoke about that, I thought it was a fantastic idea. I stand by that. I think it's a great idea. And provided that obviously Bitcoin survives, which I don't see that going anywhere, and that the hash rate doesn't exceed the price. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's a very good model.
You actually said it was the best idea you had heard at the time.
You're absolutely dead set right. You can go back and you can see me say that. It's on the record and I stand by that. I mean, it's, as you know, Andrew, I've been looking and exploring into the land of mining because I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful business model. And certainly yours made a lot of sense. So have you guys set up? I mean, where is Hut 8 up now?
Yeah, so the company is headquartered in Toronto, Canada, but we have all of our operations in Alberta, Canada. The reason that it's in Alberta is there's a lot of trapped natural gas there. And so the availability of cheap electricity is quite good there. So we have these block boxes set up there. Each block box is about 1.2 megawatts of power consumption. We've got 57 of them set up in Alberta. So in total, 66.7 megawatts and about 490 petahash a second that's produced through those operations.
Wow. So you've got that, because last time we were speaking, I think you were at about 10, was it 10 Bitcoin a day or a week? Is that right? And now you were upping it to 50 to 60, something along those sort of lines. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I think that the numbers, had we been at the network hash rate that we were at when we spoke several months ago today, we would be doing that much Bitcoin per day. What's happened since, though, and you touched upon it, is that the network hash rate has just exploded in growth. And so, you know, I think it's up to something like 50,000 petahash a second now or something like that, which is probably about a 400% increase from when we last spoke. So what ends up happening under that scenario is our 480 petahash would have been a lot more powerful a few months ago than it is today. So, on today's basis, in terms of what we're mining sort of between 20 to 24 Bitcoin a day.
Wow, that's still a lot of Bitcoin. So let's talk about the hash rate, because for those, I mean, look, in layman's terms, effectively the hash rate is linked back to what you get paid, right?
Well, yes, it's how the network hash rate is, you know, the way you win the cryptology puzzle, the Bitcoin reward is by guessing at this cryptology puzzle. And so what these mining machines do is they're just how many different guesses can they do at a time. So a petahash is, I think, how many quintillion guesses per second are done. Like, that's what kind of numbers we're talking about here. And we have 490 approximately. So that's like a huge amount of guesses every second at this puzzle. But the more people that are trying to guess it, your probability of getting it goes down, because it's purely, you know, it's just guessing numbers. So what's happening, right? And so because it's gone up 400%, our efficiency of mining goes down by that amount as well, or by a huge amount as well, because it just means there's just that much more competition.
So does that effectively mean, right? So does that effectively mean that as the hash rate increases, you need to see the price increase as well, because you're effectively mining less. So you're mining one quarter of what you were when we spoke back in May, and you're just hoping that the price continues to increase so that you can mine less but make the same amount or more, correct?
Yeah, so we're still profitable at these levels. Our cost per Bitcoin in the last quarter went up from about $2,000 in the first quarter. And then for the last quarter ended at June 30th, our price was about $2,700 per coin. So we still have a very good cushion. But the algorithm, the SHA-256 algorithm was conceived so that what was supposed to happen is if there's a lot of people are out there trying to guess at the cryptology so that the network hash rate is high, because the price of Bitcoin is high. So people are sort of acting in an economically rational fashion. As the price of Bitcoin comes down, it's supposed to bring people out of the market because then a lot of people are priced out. What's happened this year, essentially over the last 7 months, is that the price of Bitcoin has declined by 70% and the network hash rate has gone up by 400%. And so it's sort of a perfect storm acting against the economics of being a miner. So it's been a strange year because that's not what would is logically supposed to happen.
So let's be clear. So effectively, you've got a perfect storm of hash rate increasing, Bitcoin price decreasing for the year for the most part. And you're still profitable. We know that. You know, you're mining around $2,700 per Bitcoin. Currently, we're sitting at, $7,060? So, you know, winner, chicken dinner all the way to the bank. Bottom line is that... Is this the correlation between the hash rate going up was also Bitcoin going up with it? That correlation having decoupled, is that sending a lot of the smaller mining operations out of business? Because admittedly, you guys have raised you are mining 24 Bitcoin a day. I'm sure that there are not that many operations out there in the community that are doing those sorts of numbers. Is it wiping out a lot of the miners?
Yeah, so it is. There's a lot of studies out there. I think the average price for a lot of miners has to be at least twice our price. And so I think, I get at least one call a week from existing mining operations and whoever is running those trying to sell me their operations because they're not making any money. But I think there's a lot of fire sales going on. So people are trying to sell a lot of old equipment, a lot of older Bitmain equipment that's out there for sale. And it's at huge discounts to what it would cost, whatever the cost was when they bought it. And most of this equipment was all ordered when Bitcoin was at $20,000. Everybody ordered the stuff. They're not making any money and they're trying to sell it for cheap. So what I think is happening is that's contributing to the increase in the network hash rate is that there's all this equipment that was ordered. It's not economical anymore, so people are just selling it for cheap. So whoever's buying the stuff for cheap, it becomes somewhat more economical.
Right. So, I mean, we've got a supply and demand issue there. So basically, there's a lot of people that had come in. They've spent their money. Everyone buys a lot when Bitcoin's in a run. Everyone's happy to spend their money there because that's just the way it goes, right? So everyone went out and bought a bunch of these rigs at a profitable rate of $20,000 a Bitcoin, so they could actually do well. Of course, now Bitcoin's fallen quite dramatically from those highs, and these people are going, well, geez, it's not going to work so much for me anymore because of what they paid. So now, if we were to say, if one mining rig was to be $1,000, are we saying we're picking them up $50, $100? What sort of deep discounts are we looking at out there at the moment?
I've heard sort of 70% discounts from peak pricing, but some of this stuff is also older equipment. So, I wouldn't suggest anybody go out there now and pick up, something that has 16 nanometer chips in it. Like that's last generation technology that is soon going to be, useless technology. So that's the efficiency of the ASIC chip. And, GMO out of Japan has just released a 7-nanometer chip, which I'm told is not producing quite to expectations, but should, once it's perfected, I assume over the next 12 months, take the ASIC chip to the next level. And, I know everybody's working on that. So if you have old technology, you might be buying it at a 70% discount, but it's probably going to be obsolete in 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I get you there. So, I mean, whilst we're on this whole the progress of the chips and whatnot and where we're up to, I mean, there's two main ones out there. We saw the headlines earlier, well, I think it was about a month ago or even less than a month ago, about Bitmain having made $1 billion profit in the first quarter of this year. Now, I know that you work with the guys at Bitfury, probably Bitmain's biggest rival or competitor or whatever you want to call it. Now, for the people that are at home that are thinking about mining, considering mining, or getting into trying to understand the space, what's the real difference between the two? Why would you go for one over the other if both are selling what they claim to be up to date, the best technology available on the market for mining right now? Why would you go with, say, Bitfury over Bitmain?
Right. So that's an excellent question. So if you look at the Bitmain product, they sell what they call machines, like the ant miners, and those have the chips buried inside them. And you buy them on this sort of a smaller scale, depending on the efficiency for, and those I think were originally built for people to stick in their basements or their dorm rooms. It was more for the hobbyist miner. Where Bitfury is different is that they have something that's much more industrial, and it's much more for the larger scale miner. So we use their BlockBox technology. Each block box is a 40-foot wide shipping container that is a self-contained data center. Each one has about 106,000 ASIC chips. So one of the key differences here is that our self-contained data center is portable, but it's also easily upgradable. For anybody who's mining with a Bitmain product, you have this machine. Once the chip in it goes past its useful life or gets burned out, you have to take that whole machine, and guess what? It's worth, the value of the scrap metal. You can't do much with it. So for the large scale miners that are using the Bitmain product, when the CapEx requirement comes over the next 2 years, they've literally have to rip off everything out of the walls and replace it. With the Bitfury technology, because everything is on these mobile racks within our shipping containers, we can just pull out the cabinet and just replace the chips. So we'll be able to move from, we're currently using 14 nanometer chips, and once the 7 nanometers are ready, we'll be able to do that. And that's a much cheaper upgrade cost. I think our cost to upgrade will be about half of that of, mining companies that are using Bitmain product.
Okay, so there is a difference. You guys now know what that difference is in the most obvious or the most plain language, I suppose, that we've ever heard. Because I think a lot of people get a bit confused about the mining operations and what goes on there. And that, look, I've got no issue with that. I mean, the thing is that we try and focus on what we're good at, and we invest in things that we believe in. You know, that's the whole point of this space, and what's brought out a lot of people or brought forward a lot of people to invest in crypto assets as a class. Now, of course, you're not a crypto asset as such. You're a listed company that is in this space mining Bitcoin. So the whole point of Hut 8 is to help the, I suppose, everyday human that doesn't understand all of what we've talked about so far, doesn't care about the hash rate, doesn't give two hoots about the cost of mining Bitcoin for themselves or the difference between Bitfury or Bitmain. They're more interested in going, well, I don't know what to do. Can I put my money in the hands of somebody who does? So with that being said, Hut 8, obviously publicly listed company, mining Bitcoin. What is your correlation in share price to Bitcoin right now? Do you have a number on that?
Yeah, it's been, since we listed back in March, the correlation has been 84%. So I think that's pretty good. We also hold the Bitcoin. So if you were to go to our website, which is hut8mining.com, right on the landing page, it'll tell you how many Bitcoin we've mined. If you click on there, you can find how many we've retained. You can see that. So we're currently sitting on over 2,400 Bitcoin that we have stored safely. And I think we provide, you look at the US and everybody's trying to get, these very large mutual fund companies, the largest mutual fund companies in the world are trying to get these exchange traded funds, the ETFs, approved by the SEC, not because they think they're going to run a $50 or $100 million fund, because they know there's billions and billions of dollars of people who want exposure to Bitcoin. They just don't want to go through the whole online wallet process. Well, Hut 8 actually provides you that. We're as close to a listed sort of ETF as there is, because we're holding Bitcoin that we mine, and we have an 84% correlation. So I think that's exactly what we wanted to provide to people who have been scared. You know, I talk to a lot of doctors and lawyers and accountants, and I always ask them, have you tried to open a Bitcoin account to buy Bitcoin? And the answer is always yes. And then I ask, well, did you buy any? No. Why not? Well, I had to take a picture of my passport and they wanted a, you know, my bank account number. You know, that's a tough hurdle. It's a big leap of faith for people who are not familiar with the space.
I couldn't agree more. And that's the whole thing. I mean, there's so much chatter about the ETF. I mean, you've kind of swooped in underneath. You're very well positioned, mate. You've got in early enough, and I'm stoked for where you're at. I mean, the 84% correlation to Bitcoin, that means basically for anybody who wants some exposure, they can sit this in the side of their funds, their pension funds. In Australia, we've got superannuation. It's actually a listed company for people to get access to. It's something that people are more comfortable with. The fact that it's 84% correlated to Bitcoin, bottom line is you're mining Bitcoin at the moment for $2,700 US per Bitcoin, and we're sitting right now at 7,053. And by the time this goes out, I hope we're higher than that. We are in a nice uptrend, and the market does look a little bit more buoyant. There'll probably be some more ups and downs. I mean, that's what cryptocurrency, that's what Bitcoin does. But the bottom line is this business plan that you've got, mate, it is very sound. It is up and running, and it is working out really well. So how would people, I mean, the obvious way is to go to hut8mining.com. But I mean, do people need to speak to their, you know, a lot of people don't want to do it hands-on. Do they ask their financial planners? I mean, what's the easiest road to investing in the company?
Yeah, I think you just contact your financial planner. The ticker symbol it trades on in the US on the OTC under the ticker symbol HUTMF, and it trades in Canada on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol HUT. So, you know, both very good markets. We are looking down the road to list on the NASDAQ in the US for more profile. But yeah, you call your broker and say, this is here's the company, the ticker symbol, and they can purchase it for you.
Well, mate, again, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I love getting the insight into the mining side of things and what you're up to. It's great to hear that things are going fantastically well. It was inspiring to hear your story when I was in New York when we first met, and it's great to hear you continue to kick goals. And for those who are looking for a bit of exposure but might not want to jump into the markets 2 feet first and have to learn everything about this space, get across to hut8mining.com. Andrew, been a pleasure, mate. Thanks so much for being on the show again.
Thank you very much. It's been great.
Excellent, guys. Well, that's the show. Have a good day. Bye for now.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast is hosted by Craig Cobb. All Trader Cobb courses, products, and tools can be found at tradercobb.com, because experience matters.